From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we've been following this week. Isle Royal in Lake Superior used to be too cold for deer ticks, but not anymore. The ticks, which carry Lyme disease, have been found for the first time on the island off the coast of northern Minnesota, and by the end of the century, nesting loons may disappear altogether from most of the Great Lakes. Those are some of the findings of a report on the effects of climate change on the Great Lakes' five largest national parks made public Wednesday by two environmental groups, the Natural Resources Defense Council and the Rocky Mountain Climate Organization. The authors analyzed a century's worth of temperature trends for the Great Lakes area drawn from two weather stations on Lake Michigan and found that both show more rapid change than the global averages. The one near the Indiana Dunes National Lakeshore near Chicago showed that in the last decade, average temperatures have increased by 1.6 degrees, and the one near Picture Rocks National Lakeshore in Michigan showed an average increase of 2.7 degrees. The Cook County Community Fund has granted more than $11,000 to nonprofit organizations in Cook County for 2012. The Cook County Historical Society was awarded $1,970 for Maritime Heritage Interpretive Panels. Cook County Kids Plus received $2,500 for their youth programs, and the North Shore Collaborative received $1,000 for their Learning Opportunities Through Stories, or the LOTS project. The Community Fund, which is an affiliate of the Duluth Superior Area Community Foundation, also awarded $2,500 to the North Shore Healthcare Foundation for their Care Partners Caregiver Support Program. Sugarloaf Cove received $1,500 for a North Shore Speaker Series, and the Violence Prevention Center was awarded $2,000 toward funding survivor enrichment and support programs. Since being established in 2003, the Cook County Community Fund has awarded over $40,000 in grants to the Cook County region.
The U.S. Forest Service is currently accepting public comments on a proposal for forest vegetation management in the Mid-Gunflint Trail area. The agency is also hosting a field trip this Monday, July 18th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. with Gunflint District Ranger Dennis Neitzke and resource specialists from the Forest Service. Participants will visit various proposed treatment areas and have an opportunity to discuss what the treatments will accomplish and entail. Known as the Lima Green Project, the area encompasses nearly 49,000 acres located between Lima Mountain and Greenwood Lake. Of that acreage, about 5,500 acres are proposed for primary treatment, including a 7-mile stretch along the Gunflint Trail corridor. The purpose of the Lima Green Project, according to the Forest Service, is to enhance moose habitat, restore red and white pine, enhance the scenic quality along the Gunflint Trail, improve forest conditions through vegetation management, harvests, and planting, and provide timber products for the local economy. Proposed activities include harvesting, prescribed burning, replanting, and understory fuel reduction.
The shutdown of Minnesota state government makes it the longest of any in recent history, and it continues until a special session is called probably Monday or Tuesday. After Governor Mark Dayton announced that he would not accept pay during the shutdown, 14 senators and 48 representatives followed suit. According to the Star Tribune, that leaves 52 of the current 66 members of the Senate and 86 of the 134 members of the House who collected paychecks in July. Northland senators who are still drawing paychecks include Tom Bach of Cook, Roger Reinert of Duluth, Tom Saxhaw, Grand Rapids, and David Tomasoni of Chisholm, all DFLers. Representatives from the North include David Dill of Crane Lake, Tom Huntley of Duluth, Carrie Gauthier of Duluth, Carly Mellon of Hibbing, and Tom Rukovina of Virginia, again, all DFLers. The Grand Marais City Council approved the American Legion's request for a temporary liquor license so they can have a beer tent during Fisherman's Picnic. But the state's shutdown stands in the way until a special session is called and things return to normal. Grand Marais Mayor Larry Carlson.
It certainly was approved. But the state has to sign off on that also, and with that in mind, the permit that we approved becomes somewhat meaningless without that verification from the state. I mean, that's a big deal for part of Fisherman's Picnic, but also the ATV Club applied for a raffle permit, and that was approved by the city, but that is invalid until approved by the state. This is ridiculous. The state has got everything all screwed up. If you have a business and your card to buy liquor as a bar or something, that expired on the end of June, and so those no longer are appropriate.
Carlson said the shutdown has other implications as well.
There was an application for a liquor license for the Harbor Light. We can approve that, but that doesn't give them a liquor license. We're a microcosm of the mess in Washington, even. Well, yeah, we've got like 3 weeks, and something better be done. That's our biggest part of the year.
You've been listening to the North Shore Weekend News Wrap-Up. To hear more from the WTIP News team and to check out the full versions of our stories, visit us at WTIP.org. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Jay Anderson, wishing you a great weekend.